Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America, I'm Chad Pagano, former Army sniper, chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter, and you're about to experience the wild game domain from the hunt to the hearth, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. So welcome back, and today's show, we're going to take it back to the beginning. Maybe this should have been one of my first shows we did, but it dawned on me, you know, I have a lot of people approaching me. They know I'm a hunter, now that I'm on Twitter, you know, involved in food at the culinary school, at the Institute of Culinary Education. And a lot of people say, you know, I've always thought about hunting. I want to get into it, but there's so much. And I'm watching these shows on the Sportsman's Channel and the Outdoor Channel, and these guys have all this fancy gear, and they know how to shoot, and they have, you know, $2,000 compound bows. And how can I break into this sport? And so that's what we're going to discuss today, and I'm going to call the show, I don't know, Hunting 101. And we're going to start at the beginning, and we're going to kind of walk through it. I don't want anybody to be intimidated by hunting. You know, hunting, the term hunting, to me means, you know, being outside and looking for wild animals so I can shoot them and eat them. Hunting might mean something else to another person. It doesn't have to be done in a specific manner. It doesn't have to be done in a way that makes it difficult. I did a show a couple of weeks ago. You could go back in the archive and look it up, called, you know, How Sniper School Made Me a Better Hunter. And, you know, looking back now, maybe I jumped the gun on that one. That was an advanced, you know, lesson in hunting skills. And a lot of guys who never hunted or you know, have just dabbled in hunting, it might have been over your head a little bit. So here we go. We're going to backtrack, and we're going to go right to the beginning. You know, as a subject matter, it may seem simple, right? Yeah, go out and hunt. But there's so much to learn for a hunter. You know, I've been hunting for decades now. I grew up hunting. My father, you know, took me out in the woods at, you know, I was probably 4 years old, running around the woods, started hunting 8 or 9 years old, actually carrying a firearm. Without that, you know, without the mentoring that my father and my family gave me, you know, I understand it's going to be hard for people if you don't know another hunter and you're trying to break into this. That's what we're here to talk about. You know, It's a learning process for anybody. It's still a learning process for me. Every time I talk to another hunter, I learn something. I pick something up. I agree with them. I disagree with them. You know, I do it this way. So for an adult, a beginner to go out, there's so much you really need to learn. Truthfully, it's a little easier for you these days because, A, you have the internet. Get on the internet. Start searching some of these hunting sites. I mean, there's millions out there that you could dive right into. Learning technique, learning about equipment. You know, decide what prey you want to go hunt to start off. Maybe you want to start slow with some birds, a bird hunt. You know, work your way up to deer, elk, moose, bear, whatever you want to hunt. You know, I wouldn't advise dropping, you know, $10,000 on an Alaska, you know, brown bear hunt to start out. Why don't we start with some quail in your neighborhood or at the local preserve, you know, to get use of this idea of actually ending an animal's life for consumption. And you know, that's what, you know, I consider myself a sustainable hunter, as you know, and that's what it's about for me. It's not so much the game, it's the process of the hunt. Before you get into it, though, let me say this. You know, the hunting season is fastly approaching us. You know, here in New York State, I can't wait for May 1st, spring turkey's opening. If you're thinking about going into spring turkey May 1st, you're too late already. We should have started this process about a year ago. I would say now we're looking at whitetail for you, you know, in this discussion. And I'll try to keep it vague so we can, you know, kind of, you will decide on your prey. And we'll kind of take it step by step and make sure you understand this. You know, and I think that first step for a beginning hunter has got to be a hunter's education course. And whatever that means, you know, there's a great organization, you could Google this, the International Hunters Education Association. Go onto their website. They have some online courses. You could they break it down from the beginning, understanding more about hunting, understanding what a hunter is, how we should be approaching this undertaking. You know, in the pursuit of any kind of wildlife. So it's a great starting point. Now within your state, you're going to have a Department of Environmental Control, an organization that sets the laws, the regulations. Don't quote me on this, but I believe all 50 states or 49 of the 50 states require a state-mandated hunter's education course. And you know me, libertarian government, get out of my life. But these are good things. They're run by the local DEC, by your state DEC. And really, they start from the beginning. You can find these courses online. You know, go to the International Hunters Education Association website, and they have a list of the state organizations that offer these classes. And that's really your starting point. First of all, you're going to go there. You're going to start at the beginning. Firearm safety. You know, techniques in the woods. You're going to learn about the season, the restrictions, the laws placed on the hunters. And at the end of that course, you're going to take a short test. You know, boo-boo to monkey, truthfully, could pass any of these tests. So don't worry about it. Sit there, pay attention, take your notes, you'll pass the test. And at that point, you are certified hunter safety. You will get a little card. At least in New York State, you get a little card. And this entitles you to go to your local sports shop, Dick's, you know, your local hunting outfitter, and get your hunting license. The other good thing about these courses, and truthfully, I'm going to be honest with you here. If you're an adult listening to this right now, and you're thinking about this, I got to warn you, you're going to be sitting in the hunter safety course with probably, you know, 20 or so children between the ages of 9 and 17. That's who takes hunter safety normally. You know, I've seen classes. I have a friend who conducts these classes. There's always a few adults, and those are the people you want to sit next to, and you want to talk to, and you know, you want to network a little bit. You got to start networking if you want to get into this sport. The thing is, if you can find a mentor or someone else who's in the same boat as you, you're going to be in a better position to get out and start doing it. So now we've taken the hunter safety, and we're not even going to worry about licensing now. We got to start thinking about learning the regulations. I could tell you, you know, as a New York State hunter, the Department of Environmental Control, their website is amazing. It's written simply. It's straightforward. It's organized in a way where whatever you're searching for, how many rounds can I keep in my rifle or load in my rifle when I'm going out on a deer hunt, it's there. You click on it, it tells you. The seasons, areas to hunt, all of these things, you know, have to be considered. So as you're doing this, you know, as you're going through this process, that's got to be a huge part of it. The last thing you want to do is, first of all, break any laws, hurt anybody, have something terrible happen when you're trying to partake in this awesome endeavor. So, you know your regulations, go to the computer. Within that, too, these websites, these run by the state conservation organizations will tell you where you can hunt. I'm assuming, you know, maybe you have your own property somewhere. That's awesome. Go and hunt it. But know your local restrictions on even your own property. There might be firearm restrictions, only shotguns in this certain area. You know, rifles are okay, maybe only bow hunting. I hunt out in Suffolk County, and it's bow hunting only from October to the end of December. no firearms at all. And then in January, they do a special firearm season where we could use muzzle loaders or shotgun slug guns. And at that point, we need a special permit from the town. And you know, I know the regulations. I've been through it for years now, been going through it for years now. So these are the things you have to kind of study up on. And it's not daunting, and it's pretty straightforward. You know, not to put a number on it. I mean, there's probably, as far as deer hunting, there's probably 10 or 15 regulations that you need to know. You're only allowed to hunt from sunup to sundown. What firearm restrictions are there in your area? How close or how far away from a street or a house do you have to be? You know, these kind of things. So you start reading up on that. And then as you're doing this, you're also concerning yourself with familiarizing yourself with your firearm. Now, I'm going to try to gear this talk more towards rifle hunting. The reason being is I think you have a better success with a rifle than a bow. Jumping into bow hunting, while I encourage you to do it if you're that kind of guy or girl, good for you. It's going to be daunting. I mean, it's a real specific skill set. It's a lot harder to take down prey with a more primitive weapon, even the modern compound bow. You know, I shoot a Matthews Healy M, and if you know anything about hunting, you know it's a pretty advanced compound bow. We're at closer range. You got to be a better, craftsman in the field. You got to know the outdoors a little better. So I think, you know, starting with a rifle and building to bow hunting is something you could, you know, put on your list of goals. So, you know, we'll try to tailor this a little more towards the rifle hunter. So the first thing is, what kind of rifle do I need? Well, you know, impossible for me to say. I don't know what kind of prey you're hunting. First of all, let's assume deer. But how big are you? What's your shooting experience? What caliber can your body absorb? You know, for me, my personal, and I'm probably going to get a million tweets on this one, but here I'm going to say it. 270 caliber rifle is the lowest caliber rifle I would go with. And that's a great deer load right there, 270. It's strong enough to take down any size whitetail deer. Here in New York, at least, no problem. A well placed shot. It's simple to use. It's fun to shoot. Doesn't have a huge recoil. So it's a fun rifle to kind of get started on. I personally hunt with a 30-06. It's got a bigger kick to it, we'll say. You know, it punches me in the shoulder when I fire it. So even when I go to the range, and I'm a former sniper, my shoulder hurts at the end of a couple hours of shooting. If I throw, 50 rounds through a 30-06, 100 rounds sometimes downrange, I shoot out in Suffolk County, Brookhaven Range. Great range to go to. You could start at 25 yards, 50 yards, zero in your rifle, and then work your way up to, I think they go out to 200 or 300 yards out at Brookhaven. So you could kind of walk through the stations. But my arm, I have a black and blue, and I shoot what we call a 165 grain bullet. It's the weight of the bullet. So it's got a punch to it, and that's not even a big bullet. In the military, we shot bigger bullets than that, heavier bullets than that. This whole selection of firearms is going to be a big part of what you're doing. Hopefully, or maybe you know someone in your life who has a firearm or collects firearms or is an enthusiast shooter, as we'll call them. Get with them, talk to them, go to the range with them. If not, you're all by your lonesome here, go to your local gun shop and don't buy anything. Talk to the guy. Find out, hold some rifles. Are you looking for a semi-automatic? Are you looking for a bolt action? My personal recommendation for deer hunting is a bolt action. Not to get into it too far, but they're more accurate, straightforward. I always put the sniper mantra on my hunts. One shot, one kill. That's it. It's that easy. But you need to feel comfortable in the firearm that you're hunting with. Also, at your range, you'll be surprised. A lot of guys will, the people that work at the range will help you out. Talk to them. The guy next to you shooting, ask them questions about shooting. How do you get into it? At the range I go to out in Brookhaven, like I was saying, the guys who run the range are awesome. They'll come up to you if they see me, and I'm like I said, I'm a sniper. I know how to shoot. Hey, you know, you're doing this, or you're changing your position when you're shooting, and that's good to have someone observing you as you're shooting. So, and a lot of ranges will loan rifles. You know, you could go into, when you check in, tell them, I do not have a rifle, I want to learn how to shoot. A lot of times you could pay someone to come out and give you private instruction. Not to say a dirty word around here in Bushwick, but the NRA offers a lot of educational courses on shooting. Look them up online. Basic rifle shooting, I think they call it. It's pretty straightforward. They break down the rifle, how a rifle works. Of course, safety is written into all these classes. So I would really recommend going out. If you never fired a rifle, go take a course with a professional. They're abundant. If you just do a Google search, you'll find them. And then from there, it's practice. You got to practice. The worst mistake I ever made is when I broke into bow hunting. My arrogance kicked in. And, you know, I had been a rifle hunter for a while, got out of the military, and decided I'm going to bow hunt because rifle hunting is becoming too easy for me. I was a good shot. If I spotted a little patch of deer 300 yards off, I was dropping them in their tracks. So I decided, let's get into bow hunting. And I grabbed my bow, and I had made a lot of mistakes. I bought the wrong bow starting out. I bought a used bow, and I was trying to pull too much weight on it. It was 70 pounds, and I thought I needed that. And I didn't practice a lot because of that. And the first deer that I actually encountered that first bow hunting season was a beautiful, I don't know, 12 point or 15 yards quartering away. I'm in my tree stand, and I drew back and missed him by about a foot. So practice. I don't care what the firearm is, you know, a bow, a rifle, you need to head to the range and invest time in shooting that rifle to get used to it. The worst thing for a hunter is you put in all this time and effort. You're out there in the woods, you're cold, you're tired, you've been sitting in a tree stand for 14 hours, 12 hours, and your prey comes along and you miss the shot because you haven't practiced. Nothing turns hunters off more than that. So, you know, I can't stress enough that you're going to have to be at the range and learn how to use these firearms. I think it's a good time to take a break. Why don't we take a break now? And when we come back, we'll kind of go point by point and go through each one of the other things I have on my list here that could get you to break into hunting. You're listening to the Wild Game Domain on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
This one's called Top Gun by Tom Cruise on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
White Oak Pastures is the only farm in the United States that has its own USDA-inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA-inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high-quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, five generations, 145 years. A full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
Did you know HeritageRadioNetwork.org is a member-supported nonprofit organization? If you like what you're listening to, go to our website and click that donate button. Become a member and get special discounts, invites, VIP treatment, t-shirts, and more. Support us in our mission to bring you the freshest food content in the nation.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Chad Pagano, your host of the Wild Game Domain, and we're talking hunting 101, breaking into hunting. So I think I preached to you enough about gun safety, familiarizing yourself with firearms. Let's kind of go through the rest of the steps here. We already talked about hunter safety. You got to take a hunter safety. I know here in New York State, it's mandated, and most states, it's mandated that you take a hunter safety course. If for some reason, I don't know, maybe you're in the military, you're living out of state, you know, you're not in your home state, take the local, take that state's hunter safety. I think all 50 or 49 states that participate accept each other's hunter safety, just as a little sidebar there. Okay, so you're familiar with your firearm. You've picked out the proper firearm. You've gotten advice from your local gun shop. Even Dick's, you know, I hate to do an advertisement for a big chain like that, but the guys there are knowledgeable and they do a great job. At least go there and pick up some weapons. Now we're looking at your hunting license. You know, obviously you're going to need a hunting license before you could hunt. I've covered this, I think my first show ever, the pilot show here, we covered kind of, conservation and hunting and, you know, the license fees and the taxes on everything from the license to the equipment you're going to need to buy, pay for conservation and education programs, such as the Hunter's Education Program we were just talking about, habitat preservation, public shooting ranges, you know, everything basically related to hunting and the conservation of these wonderful animals. The last thing I want to hear is anybody crying about how much a hunting license costs. That is money well spent. New York State, at least I could speak for the license, and I get a super sportsman license, which entitles me to just about everything. Any kind of wild game available here in New York State, I could hunt. And I don't know, it cost me $100 or something. Don't even quote me on that, something like that. But that's how much it costs me every year, and it's well worth it. And you'll see how simple they make it. You could look online again at your state's Department of Environmental Control or their hunting license issuing site, and they break it down. Usually it's you pay one fee for the overall license, and then depending on what you want to hunt, you buy a small game license. Big game, bear, and that'll tie to you to bear, deer, there's turkey in there, and in New York State, they break it down by names, you know, there's the super sportsman, and that basically, like I said, covers everything. But you could start slow, get a small game license, go chase some rabbits around. Other game require certain tags or stamps, as we call them. They put stamp acts on hunting. So I want to hunt duck. I need to get a duck stamp for my license. But again, this is money well spent. The next big step is you're watching all these fancy hunting shows, right? On the hunting channel, and you see these guys with, state-of-the-art gear. You know, scent proof gear. Scent Blocker makes some wonderful stuff. I love Scent Blocker personally. I think it's got a great price point and does a great job. Their equipment's tough, it's strong, it's long lasting, it's warm, or it's breathable, depending on the season. But listen, don't go out there and spend $1 million starting off. I started off wearing my father's hand-me-down, Woolridge hunting suits. They were like that plaid kind of look to it, whatever it is, herringbone look. And it was bright orange or red, as I remember it, and it was heavy, and it was itchy, and it was, and you know what? I killed plenty of deer starting off as a young kid. Nothing scent-proofed. Sit up in my stand. I never thought about, brushing my teeth with baking soda. All the crazy things I'm going to talk about in a little bit that I do now, I built to that. I kind of added something every year. You know, as far as gear goes, what you're wearing, just wear something comfortable. You need something that you can move in. I would suggest layering You want to be able to take layers off if you're going to be walking in the woods. You want to be able to take stuff off, you know, a decent backpack. Follow the regulations of the season, depending on where you're hunting, meaning, you know, how much orange do you need to wear? Do you need to wear orange? You know, for rifle hunting, I would suggest at a minimum, even if your state says you do not have to wear orange, put an orange hat on, please. Put a vest on. You could go to Dick's and buy a $5, what do they call it, like a penny, you know, you put over your jacket. You know, make sure it's tough, it's durable, it's breathable, and start there. Eventually, start doing your research. I have, and if my wife's listening, I love you, sweetie, but I have thousands of dollars invested in you know, scent proofing, washing my clothes in scent proof soaps. I have airtight bags that I transfer my gear from the car out to the field, which I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, kind of wrap up the show with like a scenario of what I do when I go hunting. But within the equipment range, you know, you're also going to need a knife, a sharp knife, good footwear. You're going to need some rope. Don't forget your firearm. You know, what I do is I have a checklist. And you know what? If you're following me on Twitter, I'll post some pictures of what I call my hunting room. And maybe I could send some to Jack. He'll put them up on the Heritage site on, you know, what it takes to be organized. And you don't got to go as far as me. Some people have called me obsessive about this. But, you know, you want to keep your gear clean, organized, ready to go. You know, almost a militaristic approach to your gear. Make sure you know where everything is, ready to go at a moment's notice. So, you're ready to hunt. You've secured your gear. You got nice, warm, comfortable gear. You have your firearm. You're trained. You have your license. You're following the regulations. Now, here's a typical hunt for me. Depending on sunrise, I am up at least 5 hours, you know, and of course, travel time, everything else. Doing a hunt out in Suffolk County. I live in Nassau County on Long Island. I got about an hour's drive. I will leave, you know, 3 to 4 hours before sunrise. Drive out there. I get my coffee. Get out there. I am wearing basically, what I wear is this ratty old sweatpants and sweatshirt. And now I'm parked in my spot and I'm getting ready to go into the woods. I open my airtight Ziploc bag with all my gear in it that's been washed in scent-proof soaps. And I start putting on my layers of hunting clothes. I double check all my equipment. I use scent elimination spray. So as I'm putting on my clothing that's been in the scent proof bag and washed with scent proof soaps, laundry detergents, I'm spraying down each layer of clothing I'm putting on. You know, the biggest giveaway is smell out in the field. The deer have an incredible sense of smell. Anything out of the ordinary they pick up on, and they're very cautious animals, and they'll obviously avoid you in that area, and therefore you don't have a successful hunt. So I'm obsessed with it. I'll spray the bottom of my boots. And now I'm moving to my stand. So, you know, a stand can mean a lot of different things to different people. A stand is simply a location that we hunt from. You know, I think the term comes from standing. You know, you stand there in the woods and wait for an animal to come. Obviously, you want to get out early. And this is, you know, early in the show I was discussing, it's too late for turkey already. You don't even know where the turkey are. You're not ready. You can't go that quickly. But we're getting ready for November, October, and, you know, deer season. We've already scouted. We've been out scouting. We're looking for deer sign. We're finding their natural runs. We're finding shooting lanes. All of this, you know, in the military, we would call it reconnaissance. You know, hunting, we're enjoying ourselves in the summer and the spring, and we're out in the woods, and we're observing these animals. So you get to your stand. You're going to sit silently. You're going to sit quietly. As little movement as possible. And then all that practice that you put in with your firearm is going to pay dividends. Finally, you're going to get your prey. I should have talked about this earlier, but it just hit me for some reason. Hunting clubs, great outlet for you beginner hunters. Your local hunting club. First of all, the number of hunters in this country overall, and I could go state by state and give you the numbers, they're declining rapidly, very rapidly. you know, the example is Pennsylvania, one of the hotbeds, Northeast hunting, some of the best hunting in the Northeast, right? I think 3 or 4 years ago, they had, 5 years ago, they had over, they had close to 2 million licensed hunters in that state. Now they're down to 934,000. So the numbers are declining, less and less people are getting involved. So as someone who wants to jump into this sport, this undertaking, we'll call it, go to your local club. Google some clubs in your local area. They would be overjoyed to have you and support you and give you the tutoring necessary to get you out in the field. I'm putting myself out there personally. You could connect with me on my website, wildgamedomain.com, through Twitter at wildgamedomain. Send me some questions. Talk to me. If you're in the area, come hunting with me. I'll walk you through it. The more hunters, and I think you'll see this in a lot of established hunters, guys like me who've been hunting forever, we love to share our knowledge of it. We want to bring you into the sport and get more hunters out there. We need that for the conservation of the animal. If we let the numbers dwindle, you know, the seasons are going to be canceled, and we're going to be out of a pastime that we've loved for obviously generations and generations. Well, unfortunately, it's another show where I just do not have enough time to wrap everything, in 30 minutes. I hope I've motivated you in some ways to get out there and start hunting. It's not hard, guys. It's not. You have to take the steps. And there's a support system out there for you. Remember that. Your local shops, your clubs, and me personally. Get in touch with me. And I'll walk you through the steps. So that's all the time we have today. And I'd like to thank my man Jack for producing and engineering today's show. You can always find archived episodes of the Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth on heritageradionetwork.org or on iTunes as a podcast. Also, you can check out our new site, Wild Game Domain. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.